Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Coming up on Therapy.
My journey's been always a lot slower than everybody else's. I'm like watching my friends all gracing the covers of these magazines. And I'm like, what is going on? They're still telling me like, I'm just not a fit. This was the email I'm getting back. You're just not the right look. You're not the right fit. Like kind of like a stop emailing us type of thing. I was like, wow, I'm waiting for someone to call me good enough to anoint me. I'm like, I have waited my whole life for somebody to tell me I'm good enough. I am so sick of waiting. And in that moment, I was like, you have to become undeniable on your own. Do the things that you want to do, cut out the middleman, and stop waiting for this person to pick you and just create what you want.
Hey, senorita, really nice to meet ya.
I was always calculating calories and macros. And when I just calmed the F down, I found my physical ideal. Am I addicted to moderate drinking?
You're very subtly admitting powerlessness and unmanageability right here alive. And I'm proud of you. That's beautiful.
Did you struggle with actual eating disorders?
Anorexia and bulimia.
Wow. Thank you for saying
that. Katie Couric, nothing screws up a kid more than having a parent on top of that kid all the time.
Kenya Moore.
Before I take a shower, I would always step on a scale. And I saw my daughter starting to do that. Like, she doesn't know how to even read the numbers, but yeah, she saw me doing it.
Actress Melissa Joan Hart.
I remember the first time I was told I could be a movie star if I lost 10 pounds when I weighed 103.
Pinky Cole. Were you high when you came up with the name?
I was very high.
This is Therapy. This week on Therapy, it's serial entrepreneur, motivational speaker, brand founder, top podcast host, Lori Harder. Her show, Earn Your Happy, has over 65 million downloads. I think mine has maybe 64 million. Obviously joking. Her story is incredible. She became a millionaire at 32, but there was quite a journey to get there. And that journey includes not even finishing high school. You can change your life. Lori did it. I want to talk about her entrepreneurial pivot. She started one brand that became a different, very successful brand, and how she was able to do it during a pandemic. Please do me a favor and hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this episode. And please consider taking 5 seconds to leave Therapy a review on Apple Podcasts. It would help me out so much. It would help other people find the show, and I'll be your best friend forever. And now your weekly dose of Therapy with Lori Harder. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
I was speaking at an event in Denver. Bridget Molly was on the panel. And she's talking, she's like, my mentor, Lori Harder. Do you all know Lori Harder? And all the women are like, oh my God, yes, Lori Harder, Lori Harder. I'm on my phone like, Lori Harder, like, what the hell, where have I been? And so I've been following you since then. And I'm so inspired by your story, like where you've come from, what you have built. Your podcast is frigging goals, 65 million downloads. I said in the intro, I think I'm only at like 64 million. like whatever you're doing is working. I'm a fan. I'm so happy to have you here. We have similar whys and we both speak on finding purpose. I found mine at 40 2 years ago, and it's overcoming all of my multiple eating disorders, body image mess to come out on the other side and inspire the next woman who's still in it. Your story is so damn inspiring because I feel like people look at you and they're like, she has the sickest body you've ever seen. Millionaire at 32. I want to start with your story. You were raised in a really restrictive religion coming up.
Thank you for having me. Already from what you've shared, I so relate. And I think it's so important to have these conversations because it was, that's kind of where the story started for me was, at a young age, looking at all of these women who were in fitness and who were successful, and me thinking that I couldn't do it because they weren't sharing the whole story. You remember like the 90s, 80s and 90s, it was like only the highlight reel. Everybody was college educated or had all of this, you know, background. Somehow they just like were meant to be in the thing that they were doing. Like it just happened for them, or, you know, their parents were, they were super educated. And for me, I was homeschooled through high school. I never graduated. I was from a really small town. I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't really even understand the outside world at that point because I wasn't able to associate with anyone outside of the religion. And so I remember seeing these people, all these stories that I wanted to be so bad in my face. And I'm like, well, I'll never be that because they went to this college and they have this group of friends and this is their life. So I literally counted myself out of so much of it, but there was still that little nagging voice that was always there. So that's really where it all started, is being at a really young age, having this feeling like I was meant for more. Yes. And I think just deciding that I was going to keep getting curious about what that looked like.
Yeah. And at 18, you got up out of there. you left the religion. Can you just talk me through that? Because when you're in that small town, you only associate with people like the 100 people that are in the religion. Mm-hmm. How scary to step out on your own, not knowing anything else, only knowing the environment that you're in. You realize your environment is stronger than your willpower.
Your environment is stronger than your willpower. I learned this at about 13 years old because I was only allowed to associate with people in the religion. What happened when we became teenagers is we kind of want to have more friends than just these two girls who are in this that maybe you don't get along with great. And so what happens is you get to go branch out at these big things where you get together a couple times a year, all the religions or all the areas come together and you end up meeting these other people. So that's what happened for me. I met a couple other girls who I really hit it off with. They were 3 hours away. And so when I was 13, we all begged our parents, can we go and stay at each other's houses? So I ended up staying at this girl's house for 1 week. And the reason that this story was a huge moment for me was because up until before that, I had really struggled with my weight. And I believed that it was genetics. My whole life, I was told you have bad genetics. You're going to be overweight like everyone else. And I had put on weight and I found this to be true. I really struggled. I overate, I binge ate. I was on my first diet at 8 years old with my family, because we were just always on diets. And it was you're either on the diet or you're off the diet. That's kind of just our whole life and all of our joy revolved around food. And now I had really loving parents, but at the same time, it's really tough to be an overweight kid. I got made fun of a lot in school. I was in school up until high school and then I homeschooled. And so I go for a week to my friend's house. And up until this point, I had started to exercise, but I could never lose weight. And so I get there and I remember the first night I ask her, I go, so where's your snack drawer? Cause I was so used to snacking all night long. That's just what we did. She's like, we don't have a snack drawer, but we have apples. And I was like, apples? I did not even touch fruit. I was like, this is so rude. And we ended up being so active that week. We don't have access to a snack drawer. We eat normal meals. We were having eggs and bacon in the morning. Then we had to have lunch and we'd have dinner. We ate normal meals, but we were so active and we didn't eat in between and we didn't snack. And so it's funny, by Friday, I was like, I feel like my clothes fit really good. They're just whatever. And I get home and I weigh myself and I had lost 5 pounds. Now, I didn't even think about losing that weight.
Yeah.
My environment literally changed me.
Yes.
So I didn't even have to do anything. I just changed the environment for an entire week. And what happens is we become our environment. So this was a huge moment for me. At 13 years old, I remember going, oh my God, I have to get out of my environment because I can't do this in the place that I'm at. And while, of course, I loved my family, there was not only this almost awakening of, I don't know if I believe these same things that this religion believes. And that was just a whisper, but that became a lot louder when I was 16 and 17. And then along with this, I was oh my God, I feel I can't be the person that I came here to be in this environment. And so that creates a lot of conflict in us, especially if you love your family. So. Yes. And when we think of this, this applies so much to today. I really use this story for anyone in transition, whether you can relate or not to the religious thing, whether you can relate to the small town thing. We're all in a transition where our environment doesn't yet support or match where we want to go. So a lot of my books and events all have been written from this place of understanding what that inner turmoil and conflict feels like, and how to start changing your environment in order to match the person that you want to become, to have it help support you to where you want to go.
Yes. And it's almost like itchy. I know you did a recent podcast with Ed Milet about being the first one in your family or your friend group to break a pattern. And if your family is eating a certain way and you're kind of getting in shape, it's kind of like, you almost feel like ostracized. It's weird. Like you want to be around your family, but you're trying to change your life. So it's tricky to be the first one to make a change. I'm kind of going through that right now on my Sober Curious journey. I completely changed my brand. It used to be Squats and Margaritas. When I came out of my eating disorders, I found a life of balance, and Squats and Margaritas was working out a few times a week, having the daily indulgences, and I was maintaining my weight, enjoying my life. Whereas 20 years prior, 16 to 36, it was restriction, deprivation, obsession, hated everything. And I weighed 20 pounds more. So like my whole shift to a balance, I was all about balance for a few years. And then it's kind of like with you, and we're going to talk about your brand evolution, but it didn't feel aligned anymore. And I would find myself wanting to talk to people like on a sober path and be like, well, my show's called Squats and Margaritas, but I don't even really drink anymore. And it ended up being Gabby Bernstein, who I know you're close with and is a mentor of yours. She's doing my show. And I was like, I'm not really drinking anymore, but like, it's going to kill my brand. And in only how she can say it, she was like, fuck your brand. This won't kill your brand. This elevates your brand. She's like, this is you being authentic to yourself. And I was like, okay, it like hit. And I was just like, I listened, and I, now it's therapy because it's working through all the things you work through in therapy. I don't have any letters next to my name, but I will go there and I will bring guests that will go there as well and talk about all the things. So as I evolve into this next chapter that I do feel aligned with, it does seem a little bit uncomfortable when you're around people that are not on the same path of that. And you're the one that does it first. And I can't imagine like you being in that, first of all, a teenager, and you're finding yourself and you're getting in shape. There was another thing that you had shame about, that you didn't finish high school. You were homeschooled and you didn't have your degree. And you just recently started sharing that. What made you come out with that, to just say it and own it?
I think the realization, no, I didn't have to at all, but I think it's the realization of like, I think especially now that I've had quite a few accomplishments under my belt, I'm like, okay, people need to know that I wasn't qualified to do any of this. I had to qualify myself. I just think that that is such an important message for everyone, because we're all waiting to be anointed by someone, or to be told we're good enough, or to get invited on a stage or get invited on someone's podcast. And it's like, I had this moment of, you have to create that all yourself if you want to get noticed. Like, there's not going to be someone who's just going to pluck you out of the sea. Like, remember, it was like a 90s dream back in the day, like you'd be at a concert and they'd reach down and pick you up, and all of a sudden, like, I don't know, you can sing and you're a celebrity and whatever.
It doesn't happen that way.
It just doesn't. I wish it would. I spent a lot of years really thinking that it would. And that's one of the most freeing, that was a freeing moment for me. It actually happened. I'll tell the story, because it was like, it was a mind-blowing moment that can only come from like those rock bottoms. I had wanted to get a magazine cover since I was a little girl. I, you know, at a young age, I would beg my mom to buy me fitness magazines, and I would just like hold on to them forever. They'd be dog-eared. I would then paste up those covers on my closet door. Like, the closet door was completely pasted, like covered with motivation and magazine cutouts. And so that was a huge goal of mine. So I had started doing fitness competitions, and I had competed at this point for, I think, 4 years. And I had done pretty, I'd done really well towards the end, but still it was like the craziest thing. I was still not getting noticed by these magazines. I'm like, okay, all the girls on the covers have won these things, and I have now won them, and I'm still not getting noticed. Like, what is going on? And that's kind of always been my journey's been always a lot slower than everybody else's. I'm like watching my friends who've won, like all gracing the covers of these magazines. And I'm like, what is going on? They're still telling me like, I'm just not a fit. This was the email I'm getting back. You're just not the right look. You're just not a fit. And so I'm standing in front of my vision board, because at that point I'd done vision boards for like 5 years. And I have these covers all over it in my bedroom. And when I roll out of bed, these are the things that I see. It's on my wall. And I'm standing in front of it, and I had just gotten another email that's like, you're not the right fit, like kind of like a stop emailing us type of thing. And I stood in front of those covers and I just threw myself on the bed. And I remember like literally throwing a tantrum, like beating the bed with my arms, like freaking out. Cause I'm like, my dream is never going to happen. Why am I even here? Like, that's how it feels when you have that dream and you feel like you are not breaking through. And this had been years and years. And if you're alone having one of those moments, all of a sudden you're just kind of like, oh, nobody's here to witness this, and you're tired. So you stop crying. In that moment, I was like, wow, I'm waiting for someone to call me good enough, to anoint me. I'm like, I have waited my whole life for somebody to tell me I'm good enough. And I was like, I am so sick of waiting. And in that moment, I was like, I've always had this thing in my head where it's like, okay, well, you have to become undeniable on your own. Like, how would you do that? And it was become undeniable to yourself. Like, do the things that you want to do, cut out the middleman, and stop waiting for this person to pick you, and just create what you want.
More therapy in a moment. Now this. Now, back to therapy.
Why do I want these covers? Because I wanted to be a leader so bad. I wanted to speak to people. I had a message that I wanted to share. I had all of these things that I wanted to say. This is what I thought a cover would do for me. I thought it would create platforms for me in order to speak what I wanted to share with these people, which is this message of like, you have to essentially decide you're good enough yourself. Yes. And, you know, make the changes yourself, and no one is going to come and save you. And that was the moment that I decided to stop waiting and just start creating these communities. So I started like inviting all these women to these group workouts. I started doing like these group meetups where I would speak to them and share this message. I started a YouTube channel where I would share about healthy food, but also mindset. And all of a sudden, now that I have this platform, it's like, I had something that I could offer to them, because they're a business, and I wasn't thinking in my business mind back then. I was just thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Pick me, pick me. And now I have these platforms that I've created by myself that I can now go back to the magazine. Once I felt, I was like, okay, now I don't even care if I have it or not. Of course I still did a little, but it was like, I really was in this place where I, with or without it, I knew what I was going to do with my life. And I knew that I had purpose. So then I went back, showed them these communities I was creating, showed them I had written a cookbook, showed them I was doing this YouTube channel, showed them I was speaking on stages of sometimes 5 to 10,000 people. And I said, hey, next time I speak, I'd love to have a cover of this magazine in the background the whole time, or like in the beginning. And I said, I'd also love to put you on my YouTube channel. I'd also love to do this. I'd love to add value through different recipes every month. Like, let me add value to the magazine. How can I do that? Sure enough, that is what ended up getting me the magazine covers later, is because they're a business. They need you to promote them. And that was also like, oh my God, I can go create my own life and my own value and my own platform. And that is how every single story, I mean, I have a podcast as well. Like, I've done so many interviews, and the key to success is always go create what you wish existed, and don't wait for somebody else.
So many things. I don't even know where to go. You're just making me think, as a podcast host, how am I serving the person that I'm trying to get on my show? I am just, I'm on top of it. And I'm like, here are my downloads. Here's who I've, you know, I interviewed Katie Couric. I'm like, I always lead with that, but it's like, I'm not giving them any value. And I learned that from you too. It's like, serve the people that have served you. And you did that with Gabby. It's like, you don't have to be best friends with Gabby, but you're going to share her app and you're going to promote whatever she has going on. I need to take that, like Sarah Blakely, instead of just being on her ass every time she posts, like, oh my God, therapy. How am I serving her? Like, I need to promote and show value to her instead of just trying to, why would she come on my show? I'm not providing her any value. Right. I'm not promoting her stuff. So that is the first thing. The second thing of you saying you finally got to the point of you had done a few things, you know, you have the confidence, and it's like, let me just tell people where I came from, and it wasn't always perfect. And I didn't graduate. You were holding shame about not having a high school diploma. I held shame for probably about 10 years post bulimia that I had done that. And when I finally got to the point of squats and margaritas, I had to write the book for the woman that was on the treadmill 7 days a week, sometimes twice a day, only eating salads and being like, this is bullshit. I'm not losing weight. Like, I had found a way to help her. And it's like, it's not about depriving yourself. You just have to listen to your body. And when I went to write the book, the writing coach was just very much like, are you a nutritionist? Are you a trainer? And I'm like, no, but I have figured it out. And she was like, you have zero credibility. You need to tell your story. And I was so hesitant. I was like, oh, absolutely not. Like, I was going to my grave with my bulimia. Like, thank God no one found out about it. Now I can just help the women. And she pushed me, Lori. Yep. And then one day I wrote it. And I was like, I was anorexic. I was bulimic. And it was just like it was off me. And when you release the shame of whatever you are still carrying and whoever is listening, it is the thing that you're thinking of right now. It doesn't matter if it's not happening anymore. It doesn't matter if it's something that happened to you. If you have not released that, you don't have to write a book, but say it, write it down. It's still on you and it is keeping you small. Shame keeps you small. And as soon as you release it, like you said, you were just like, yeah, I don't have my high school diploma. It's off you. I was like, I used to throw up my food. Now I talk about it so lightly, but it doesn't have the power over me. And I feel like the rest of my life opened up. Like, a program director at a radio station saw me on Instagram, gave me the show. I started speaking on stages, and it was all because my life opened up and my purpose was there when I released the shame of it. And it got to the point where my physical transformation, I got to a point of so much confidence at 41 after having two kids that I honestly wasn't even going to share this, but I submitted for Sports Illustrated Rookie at 41 after having two kids. I felt so confident in my body
that
I thought I belonged there. Lori, I didn't get it. And I remember when I didn't get it, I was like, well, cause I thought I had the story, and I was like, I've come out on the other side. And like, I truly believed I would get it. I didn't. And I was like, thank God I didn't tell anyone. I sat on it for 2 days and I was like, wait a minute. I didn't win, but the win was getting myself to a point of so much confidence that I believed that I belonged in Sports Illustrated after hating myself and having no confidence. So I ended up being like, guess what? That's the win. If you can get yourself to a point in your 40s where you're confident enough in yourself and you love yourself enough that you feel like you belong, that's the win. So I started sharing it. Yes. I was like, yeah, I didn't win, but that's the win for anybody that's dealt with body image. And like you said, you can come out of whatever, you know, you struggled with your weight. Now, I mean, you are a cover model. You have been on all the fitness magazines, and now you've come out on the other side and you found purpose in what you struggled with. And mine was similar. So I think both of us, something shifts when you change your physical body, and it makes it sound very surface. And it's not just about optics and about your physical body, but when you transform your body, you start to see more possibilities. And that's kind of what you saw for yourself when you physically transformed. I want to get into how you started training. It kind of came out of necessity that in 2008, your husband lost his job and you had to find, like, how can you support your family financially? And at that time, you're already working out.
A lot of me even getting into fitness was not just like as a job, was not just because I loved it for myself. But it was, that was a, like a hobby of mine and some like something I love to do for myself. I didn't necessarily want to do it as a career. The reason I did it as a career is because it was one of the only things that seemed even semi-interesting to me that didn't require a diploma. I could go get certified because everything else back in the day was like, they were kind of starting these like certifications, but it was more like you went to college to go and get something, but I couldn't go to college because I didn't finish high school. And I tried to go back and finish high school, but I kept failing math over and over and over again. So I was like, I could never graduate because I didn't even understand the whole tutoring thing. Like, it wasn't a thing. I just kept going and trying to do it myself. And so I ended up getting into it because I was like, wait a minute, I can just like get certified and like, I'm good. So that's what I did. That's how I got into it. But It's crazy because I failed that test twice too, because I learned I'm not a good test taker. And we don't know these things about us. We just think we're dumb, or we can't, you know, we like, oh my God, we're not good enough for this again. And you'd have that story all over again. But what ended up happening is, because my husband had, you know, was the main breadwinner, and he lost his job. And literally, it wasn't just that he lost his job, it's that every job he had ever known was then lost in 2008. There were no jobs for him to apply for because it was in the mortgage and finance industry. Yeah. There just were no jobs happening because the market or everything crashed. So, you know, I watched my husband like completely crumble in front of me. And that is a horrible feeling, to watch the person that you love lose their identity. And at that point, we weren't doing any personal development. So it was like very challenging to watch. And that was a moment of, oh my God, I have to do something. Like I have to go and do something. We lost our home. We lost our cars. We were $300,000 in debt, which at the time was like $3 million in the Midwest. And we ended up borrowing my in-laws, like their entire retirement, to help us get back on our feet, which was also even more pressure. And that's when I was kind of forced into going, you have to figure it out. Like, what can you do? So that's when I had started training. And a year into it, when I was personal training, I had this moment of, I'm doing the math right now, and we're never going to get out of debt with what I'm doing here. So I had to start figuring out something else on top of that. And that's really when I think we're cracked open, when we hit that rock bottom to other ideas. So network marketing had come into my life by way of a client of mine. And I can tell you, I would have never been open to this before rock bottom, but because you're in that place, it's like, you better be open to all creative ideas of income. And I don't think you have to hit rock bottom to be there. I think you can just say, hey, let me really think about what my skill set is and what I'm capable of. And so when network marketing came in, that's really when my life started to change, because I understood that I now had a vehicle that worked for me, that changed my life, that I felt very passionate about, because I was into obviously food and fitness. And I just put my ego aside. It wasn't that it was easy. It's that I didn't have a choice. And so I ended up just, I mean, in 1 year, in just over a year, I went from being totally in debt to making over $1 million, because I just, my back was against the wall.
More therapy in a moment. Now this.
Guys, I have found the magic. And who would I be to not share the magic with my loyal therapy listeners? I have been using Rejuvelift Beauty, a tightening clay that you tap wherever you need it. I use it on the little 11s between my eyebrows, the bags under my eyes, my crow's feet. You tap it, you sit for 4 minutes, and the results last for up to 7 hours. If you have a girl's night, a work event, a date night, make Rejuvelift the first step in your beauty routine. It goes on before makeup. It lasts for up to 7 hours. It is magic. And right now, Therapy listeners get 20% off at rejuvelyftbeauty.com using code Therapy. Therinpy, 20% off. Rejuvelyftbeauty.com. That's rejuvelyftbeauty.com. You're welcome.
Now back to therapy.
You say like, speak what you want to do into existence. Tell everyone. It was like, you had a chiropractor client that was like, you can train out of my practice. And you did that. And then you got bigger, and then you have your own gym. And then you see the transformation that you saw, like the physical, and then your clients were like wanting more, and they're like, you know, I want to be this, and I want to leave my husband. You're like, holy shit. Like this is a thing. Like I want to help them build and get money. And that's how you get into personal development. I wondered about, and we kind of hit on it, like imposter syndrome. There's no letters next to your name. Like every time I speak, it's like, are you a therapist? Are you an eating disorder professional? Are you a trainer? I have no letters, but I'm always like, you lead with your story, and your story is what makes you relatable. You say, if you're new to something, or if you feel imposter syndrome, say you're new, tell them you're just starting. And then like the bar lowers. Like I thought that was such great advice. You don't have to pretend that you have it all together, you know, because then they'll just expect more out of you.
Oh my God. I gave a talk yesterday. And I speak into this app called Growth Day, and it's amazing, but it's like every single month, it's a 45-minute talk where I don't get to pick the topic. So like, I never feel like the expert on the topic. Yeah. And it's like 700 people. So there's some pressure there. And I want these people to like have a good experience. And I want to be good as well. And so I'm on there talking about the topic yesterday was advanced human behavior change. And I'm like, well, and I got on there and I'm like, hi, everyone. The only thing that I can teach you about today is my personal experience on how I've changed my behavior. And yeah. So that, what did that just do for me? That completely let go of them even thinking I'm going to be the expert on this topic, but I'm the expert in my life. And okay. So I think that when we do that, it's just pure freedom to actually teach something that can move someone. Because I will tell you that when I have tried to be an expert in the past, it has only failed me. And it will not work out for you if you try to be somebody else or try to teach like someone else or think that you need to be a certain way. So when I first started the Bliss Project, which was an event, it was like hundreds of women from all over the world. I started it, I think now, was it 2014? I think my very first one was 2014. And before that event, because I was so nervous, I've never had a big event before. We had 250 people at the first one. And I was like, oh my God, I'd gone to Tony Robbins before this and all these different events that I thought it needed to be like, right? Yep. And Gabby Bernstein was like a huge person in my life. I was listening to Joe Dispenza all the time. So I was like really into the quantum field and all of these different things. And so before the event, like a couple months before, as I'm starting to like really get my thoughts together and put the outline together, I am having the worst imposter syndrome of my life. And I'm like, I'm not smart enough. I need to teach about the quantum field. I need to teach all the science behind this. So I hire this coach. And I'm like, help me put together all these slides. I have about 3 days of talking, right? Like essentially for a few hours every day with some random speakers mixed in. I am feeling the pressure. And so she comes in and she like teaches me all these things and, or shows me all these things, put together these slides that are totally in her own words, but I'm going to go up there and I'm going to like teach what she is telling me to teach, even though this is my event and I wanted to be doing it. But at this point I was ready to hand over the wheel, hand over everything, hand over what I knew. I was going to hand over all of my knowledge to this woman and say, let me just say what you think I should say. So this is the position I was in. Oh. And so I get all of these slides and they're on my assistant's computer. I have 3 days of slides. This is literally like 3 weeks before. And I'm like, hey, I want to go over the slides today. Can you bring them, you know, with you? Cause I don't have them on my computer yet. Cause she had just gotten them. And so her computer ends up like crashing. And these weren't slides the coach put together. These were slides we put together from the coaching sessions. So the coach did not have them either. Her computer ends up crashing because God, that's
exactly.
Why.
Exactly.
And I have to go like create everything myself.
You have to go so be you. This was a long way. Instead of being the other person.
I had to go be. And it turned out to be the best thing ever on planet Earth. Yeah. And I will tell you that this pattern shows up for me all the time. It just, we don't outgrow this pattern. Like she just gets in a fancier outfit. Like even recently, it's like, as I'm thinking of different ways to market my new company, people will tell me what I should be doing, even though I know what will be best for it. And it's very easy for me to go, oh, well, they know best, or they have a company like mine. I should just forget what I thought and go and do this thing. Except that's not how you are meant to get exactly what you're meant to do out in the world. It will never look like anyone else's. And yes. I think women are so quick to give away all of our power to the person who's the expert. They are not the expert, even if they're an expert. I am not the expert in your life. I could maybe help tell you something, but I'm always going to remind you that you already know. Like yes. You have to ask yourself the question, if I really knew, like if I actually knew, even though I feel like I don't, if I actually knew, what would I do? And if you ask that enough, there will be something small that comes through and it's going to feel crazy. Like the answer is going to be like, really? Is that right? And it is right. Like you should start there. And even if it's wrong, it was right. I know that sounds nuts.
Yes, it serves
even
you.
If you fail.
Yes.
It will serve you.
And it's all, like you said, like those are teachable moments. All the wrong or the regrettable things, like those are the stories that you tell on a stage. And when you're sharing your story, it's like people are along on the journey with you. You're not up there teaching. Really quick, I ended up, when I met Gabby, I ended up on a stage with Gabby. She was clearly the headliner. And I I'm looking down at all the, it's like Gabby Bernstein, whoever, certified life coach, somebody else, letters everywhere, Lori. And then it was like Erin Washington, author and podcast host. And I was like, so I went up there and I'm like, I'm going to share my story with you and I'm going to share what I've learned and what I have learned, how that can help you. And I got laughs. I was raw. I shared everything. So afterwards there's a cocktail reception and all these other women, Gabby leaves, but the rest of the women are coaches and they're like coaches and they are there to get clients to coach. Mm-hmm. And I had a line and I was like, the coaches are like ready to like sign people up. And they're like, we want more. Where can we get more from you? I'm like, oh, I'm not a coach. Like I have a book and I have a podcast, but like, they were like, no, they wanted me to coach them. And I wasn't the coach. Like my vulnerability is what hit and what connected. And the people that were there to get clients didn't have a line. And so like that moment, I'm like, anytime I feel that way, it's like your story is your resume. And if you have that superpower of being able to be authentic and raw and vulnerable, that's where people connect. And that I just always go back to that. Like I was the one that had the line.
Oh, I love that.
Then when I started doing like brand deals or like a post on Instagram, a company would negotiate something and then I would go to their page and be like, well, here's what the other people that they have posted were doing. So this must be what they like. And I was doing it just like their other people. And they came back and they're like, it's fine, but can you do it like how your other posts are? Like I'll do like lip syncs and funny things. And I was like, oh, like I tried so hard to make it what I thought they wanted to be on their page. And they're like, they're coming to you for you. They've looked at what you've done. And then it took me like 10 seconds to knock something out. They're like, yes, this, but I thought that was like silly, but that's who I am. And that's why they wanted me. So you don't have to conform to the other people they had on their page, they wanted them for what they do. So don't even look at it. It's like, if you were just always being your authentic self, what is for you will find you. And when you just kind of step into that, like you don't have imposter syndrome or you're just you. And that crashed on purpose, or you would have been an imposter trying to be like somebody else. That
would have been a disaster.
You wouldn't be Lori Harder that you are today. I want to get into your brand. There was a little bit of a twist. I'm not going to say pivot because I want to share something with you, but you start out during the pandemic, you're going to launch a wine seltzer and you get $2 million from 54 female investors. Feels like what you're supposed to do. Then you start having some challenges.
So 2017, I wrote a book. I kind of hit this place where I had, because of the way I grew up, I never really dreamed past like, I want to have events. I want to have a book. I want to be a speaker. Like I never thought past that. Cause I was like, that's going to take me forever. And when I actually accomplished those things, I had this moment after I had toured my book for like a whole year. I went on two different tours, like took the whole year doing that. And after that, I was like, what do I do now? Do I just keep writing books? Am I an author? Like, what do I just keep launching courses? And while that's awesome, I knew there was something more. I didn't know what that was. I had no idea. I also was feeling really lonely at the time because actually writing a book is pretty lonely. It's amazing, but it's also, you're isolated. You have to like think and be alone a lot in order to write. And so I was like, ooh, I don't feel like I want to do that. And the book was all about connecting women deeper past a superficial level and also figuring out your purpose. So with that, the book did good, but it didn't do what I wanted it to do in the mainstream. I feel like it hit a lot of personal development people, but it didn't hit the mainstream women like I wanted. And I was like, okay, where are the mainstream women? Oh, they think that they're getting these friendships and connecting over like cocktails or like girls' nights or things like that. And they're not feeling fulfilled. Like I'm seeing this everywhere. Like they're just not having deep conversations. They don't feel really connected. I was living in LA at the time, going to all of these networking things, being like, oh my God, this is horrible. And I'm leaving with like a buzz, feeling bad, eating all the food because I'm like so awkward at this event, not knowing anyone. And I was like, what if I made a lighter wine? Like, I know that I want to have a couple drinks, but I don't want to feel bad the next day. So what if we made it lighter? What if it was lower alcohol? What if it had questions on the back of the can that I have used for years at my networking event that I knew would get them answers if they would just even try to read it? And so I had a non-alc too, because I was like, okay, well, I don't want to drink all the time. And if you're not drinking, you don't feel included. So we had this like non-alc and this lighter wine that people were really excited about. This was pre-pandemic. I just felt like it was going to work. It just felt exciting. It felt like the thing.
It sounds
amazing.
The next thing I have to say, it sounds like, I'm like, oh my God.
So I end up raising money through the pandemic. Everybody told me it wasn't possible. They're like, nobody's giving out money. It did take me over a year, but I ended up raising $2 million from all female investors, which at the time there wasn't. I don't think anyone had done female investors on their roster ever that I know of. Maybe there was one or two, but I'm not even sure who they were. Anyway, so I end up raising the money. That takes a while. So that's like a full-time job for a little while. And then I am getting this company off the ground and we work on it solid for like a year and a half of really up and running and getting this thing going. And during the pandemic, like everybody lost their margins because prices went up. Nobody was even working. The warehouses were shut down. Co-packing, you know, manufacturing was all shut down. I couldn't get my hands on cans. Like it was one wall after another, like literally, right? And we'd get small wins, but then we'd get huge things that like did not work out, or teams that would say they were working on the back end and they weren't doing their job, but they just wanted to get that paycheck because the pandemic and they were scared. So there was a lot of different things that were happening to people during this time. And so fast forward, I'm in this place where I get a couple conversations with people that were totally divine, just divine timing. And I also had a lot of moments where I'm like, you have to go get vulnerable with people who have been in this industry before and like be really real about where you are and where your business is and where the numbers are and where the money is. And I had a couple of those conversations that made me realize like I have to pivot now, or we have to raise $10 million more. And this is a totally different game that my skill set isn't even necessarily going to be good for, because I can't market in the way that I want. I can't use online. Like I can't be online as much as I want because it's alcohol. And I was like, oh God, the whole point of why I wanted to get this started, I'm not going to be able to put it out in the world the way that I want. Mm-hmm. So it was a moment of, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to disappoint everybody and totally pull the plug on this and have a new idea? It was, I can't even begin to tell people what that felt like, but it was the darkest, scariest time of my life, because I think that women taking on money is like one of the most anxious, pressure, stress related things that I can ever possibly tell you. But it's also, I don't want to deter anyone who's in this right now, it's also going to be the best journey you've ever experienced of your life. It just forces you to figure out how to deal with stress, how to compartmentalize, how to like remember that you are the person taking on all the risk and that this truly is an opportunity for people that you're creating. There's so much there. This could be like a week long podcast.
I know. You all, maybe you have to come back. You almost feel like yes. You don't want to let anybody down, but like, wasn't it that you had like celebrity investors and for some reason they needed their fingerprints or something and they wouldn't do it. And you were like, well, I don't know what to do. I feel like that was so purposeful because if they gave their fingerprints, this would have gone through. Glossy wouldn't be what it is today. It's like all these things that seem like failures or setbacks are divine. Like, it's stopping you and you have to kind of find the point of like, should I just keep trying because you're an entrepreneur and it's just a roadblock, or it's a sign that like, this ain't it. Like you're not, you have to, like you say, turn the Titanic. And I wrote down something you said, sometimes you have to walk away from something that's not all bad. It won't make sense to people. And it just makes a space for a bigger opportunity. So you're only seeing how it's not working out, but it's not, yeah, it could work. And it's not this horrible, like I have to do it, but it makes sense because you walking away from that creates space for the next thing and what Glossy became. I have been waiting to tell you this because someone said it to me. I kept hearing you say pivot, you have to pivot. When I was talking about my brand and I was squats and margaritas and Gabby was like, don't worry about it. And I pivoted and I said it a couple of times on stage once. This woman came up to me afterwards and she was like, you kept saying pivot. It's not a pivot. It's a rise. And I was like, She goes, you're
that's
higher.
Good.
I'm in goosebumps every time I say it. She goes, a pivot is like a lateral move. You're higher. You're more
that's
enlightened.
So true.
She said, it's not a pivot. It's a rise. And so every time I hear the pivot, I'm like, not a pivot. It's a rise. So I was like, I have to tell Lori,
yeah.
You rose into purpose. That's what you were. It's not a pivot or a lateral thing. Like you now what you're doing, you rose. So it's a rise and the signs are there. you've always loved hydration. You've loved hydration six and you're thinking about it already. And then your friend is like, why don't you do a hydration stick? Which is probably like a lightning strike. Like you have to be like, are you kidding me? Right
now? Like, oh yeah. That's how there. I felt.
Like, like, did I say that out loud?
I'm not going to ignore this one.
Yeah. Yes. The signs are there for what you're supposed to do. And you rose and you turn the Titanic and you got to look at what's right in front of you. And that's what Glossy became. Talk about what it is now.
There were so many things that I learned also about this with just like, okay, if you want to do a physical product, it's important to not only think of a product in terms of what you want to do, but is it a product that, you know, is going to be something you can make money from? That's really important. Or are you going to go down this road and start something that is already an uphill battle? So a couple things with the alcohol industry, like it was so, there was so much red tape and legalities that you had to work with that you were already on an uphill battle. On top of also something that is heavy to ship a liquid, which we were going to be direct to consumer in the beginning. That was kind of like our way around, like our way to create our own brand without it, you know, someone else getting their hands in it and totally changing what we actually wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Shipping costs were insane and they're just getting crazier. And then packaging costs and all of these different things. So when you're thinking of a business, there's some things you want to think about, like, what is my shipping going to be? What are the margins on this? Like, can I mark this up so that we're profitable? Like, can I build in margins so that I can help pay other affiliates and people? Cause that's how products are getting out in the world. So when I started it, I was really thinking of those questions as well. And so I was looking at like, what are the things I love in my life? And even right now I have like three beverages on the desk and I still love beverage. But I loved hydration packets. Like, and I was already like getting sponsored by them for my podcast and my audience loved them. And I'm huge about, you know, wellness and drinking water. And I know that so much of our personality depends on if we're hydrated or not. Cause I'm like, girl, maybe you just need some more water. And water's always been a moment for me of like, water's been like a reset for me where it's like, even if everything is going wrong, I'm like, can you just go drink your glass of water and take care of yourself? And so I'm like a toddler. I need something flavored to make me drink more water. And so I've always had these hydration packets, except I'm like so into wellness, but I'm kind of like not really looking at what's in these packets. And one day I'm like, wow, what am I actually drinking in this? Like a ton of salt or a bunch of sugar or some different dyes or some stuff in there I can't even pronounce to keep it from anti-caking. And so I'm like, what if I could make a better packet that not only like hydrated or make us drink more water, but actually was doing something else for me that maybe like I'm sick of swallowing all these pills. Like, what if it could just be kind of this packet that could like make us have better skin and make us feel better and actually maybe make us look better? I don't know. Let's play with it. And so that's where the idea came about. And I'm so in love with what I have now. It feels so aligned.
Yeah.
I've always loved making people feel better. I love the journey of entrepreneurship and I feel like this serves that. It's just going to make you better.
Yeah.
I love having these different tools and moments that are very like ritualistic and habitual. That's always really helped me reset every single day to take a minute. So it's called Glossy and it is a daily beauty supplement that you put into your water and you drink every day. And it's so freaking delicious. It makes me drink a ton of water. So
yeah, exactly. It evolved into what it was supposed to be. You had the investors, you had the money. It just became something else. And now it feels aligned. I know, cause you were saying there was a time in your life where you would drink too much and you'd wake up in the middle of the night and be like, why am I sabotaging myself? Like, why? So to put out an alcohol line, I can't tell you how much that resonates with me. Cause I'm like, I'm not really drinking. And then I'm this drunk mom on TikTok in the pandemic, like doing all these, I look at it now and I cringe. Like, we have risen into what we're supposed to do. And you know, when you feel just alignment and this is what it's supposed to be for an entrepreneur that is like, I feel like there's more, kind of like what you said, because I always said, I want to be a stay-at-home mom and I love being a mom, love my kids, but I felt like there was more. You say your curiosity and desire are the most important pieces. Like look at, and it's kind of like what you did with Glossy. Look at what you're, look around you. There's three bottles of water. Maybe it's water. Like that's where you kind of start to look at maybe what your next thing could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's things that you love and then really research them. Like here's the thing. I freaking love clothing, but when I researched the clothing industry, I was like, and I also love like jewelry, but those were things that I didn't necessarily feel like I felt good about the challenges that I would have to face within those mm-hmm. particular things. So it's not that they're all going to be challenging. Trust me, this is still so challenging, but it's like looking at what problems do you want to solve every single day? And can your skill set get something out into the world in a, like, how can your skill set serve that thing? So for me, because I've always been in wellness and I'm always going to be someone who like wants to have great skin, and I'm someone who wants everyone to be drinking water and having like a ritual, for me, that's a message that is easy. Like I can preach that all day long. It's what I want to talk about. I want to get this to people. Where like clothing and jewelry, I'm not going to be talking about they need it as much. Like I really deeply to my gut feel like people need this product that I have. And so find the thing that you want other people to have, and you want, like, you need them to have it so that their life is better. And that's the thing you should be talking about or sharing.
It lights you up. You glow, if you will. Mm-hmm. See what I did there. I had a holistic business coach on recently, and she was saying that when she coaches people, she's like, there are three levels of being, and it's thing, your level of excellence, exceptional, and then she's like, everybody's just kind of at something. It's like, you're, it's not your me, math, you and I, math. I don't want to do my taxes. I don't see numbers. That's excellent is like what you went to school for, what you're trained in. That was like training for you, fitness training, and you were great at it. And you feel confident because you've done it for years. But then there's another level of exceptional. And that is like what only you should be doing. And she's like, so many people spend their life in the excellent because that's what they're trained in. So it feels comfortable. But you have to find, it's like, what's the thing that everybody comes to you for? It's like, oh, your skin, or oh my God, your lashes. Like, how do you, maybe it's lashes. Like, find the thing that you are known for and stop living in just the thing that's comfortable. If there's something that lights you up, it's like, look into that and stop living in just what you thought you were supposed to do because you have a degree in that. Or, like, it's wasting your life living in the excellence when there's an exceptional, and you can tell when people are in it. And it's like, what conversations do you overhear that you're like, I have to get in there? Like, if I hear a mom being like, well, I don't really know, I'm just a mom, I'm like, no, you matter too. Like, I'm in there. I want women, I want moms to find their worth and be like, you can still, don't have the shame and guilt about having a brand or stepping into purpose just because you're a mom. Like, that lights me up. Find that. And you say, when you're close to your soul's purpose, that's when you're going to feel the most resistance around something.
That's when you sabotage yourself too. You'll notice, you'll just start being like, oh, maybe not. Or maybe drinking more, eating more, hanging out with like people who kind of pull you back to who you were. It's just a natural way of being because it's protection from like potentially leaving the people and the ways that you've always known. Like, that's not normal. That in the past, you know, like historically for humans, that could mean death. So we don't do it because survival is to stay within, like, survival's to stay within your current tribe. And we will do whatever it takes to do that. And we have to just have that realization that it's okay to leave. You're going to be okay. You just have to build a new group of people. It doesn't mean you have to leave everyone in your life. It just means you also have to have a new group of people who are going to keep you, you know, keep elevating with you.
Yes. And that it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be a little itchy, but that you're getting closer to what you're supposed to do.
More therapy in a moment. Now back to therapy.
Power Nine. Quickly tell what Power Nine is, how that has helped your marriage, how that became a practice.
Power Nine is something that Chris and I have done for like, oh, probably over 10 years now. And we did this because I was in a place of just like pure anxiety every single day on our walk. So Chris and I have always walked since we got married because we got a dog right away. And we just like knew this golden doodle had to be walked like 3 miles in the morning. So we started this because one day we were walking around, lived in Minnesota, and we were walking around something called the Chain of Lakes, and it's 3 miles. And once you're in, you can't stop because there's no way across the lake. So, I would be walking around this lake every single day, and I'd be like, I have to do this and I have to do that. And they're not noticing me. And this is happening. And why isn't this happening? And oh my God, I'm anxious about this and all the things that were going wrong, all the things that could go wrong. And he was like, I literally am not going to go on walks with you anymore because this is so upsetting to me. He was so irritated. And I had this moment of, oh my God, I get it. I am really irritating. I'm irritating myself. Like, I don't want to be this way. And sometimes it takes that person, like, was I happy with him pointing that out? No, but I knew that that's what I was doing. So he's like, we need to like focus on something else. So the power nine is three gratitudes. You have to call out three gratitudes, and then you have to do three things you're excited about. And then you have to do three things that you are manifesting. So this immediately does so many different things. It gets you out of your head. It gets you remembering that, oh yeah, there are things to be grateful for, even when it's hard and you've had bad times. Oh yeah, there are things that I'm excited about. And if I just focus on those, like, it'll take me out of the other things. And then the manifesting thing is so cool because it always keeps them in the front of your mind. And then also it's so cool to hear what your partners are. Like, we've gotten so much closer because every day I know exactly what he wants. I know what he's focusing on. I know what he's grateful for, because within that, it's not like whatever coined toxic positivity. It is truly like, you can say, I'm so grateful for this because not long ago, here's where I was, or because I'm really struggling in this, I'm so grateful to feel this way. Like, it's such a great conversation starter for all of it. That I just like, literally, it's life-changing if anybody takes that from this podcast.
Absolutely. Where can we get Glossy, your podcast, your Instagram, all the things?
Oh my gosh. Well, everything like social is Lori Harder. The podcast is Earn Your Happy. And then the product is getglossy.com. So GETGLOCI.com. And you can just go to the website and check it all out and see what it's about.
Thank you so much for your time. So many gems. What is next for you? Can you tease anything that's coming?
Oh my gosh, it's all glossy for me. Like, I am so excited to build this company. I am building, I want to build the most sought after ambassador program out there. And so that's what we're working on right now. And we're creating an epic community with that, where women kind of like get rewarded, get noticed, get recognized, all the fun stuff. So I'm very excited about it.
I love watching you shine. I love what you've built, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. You're so good at what you do.
If you are not subscribed to Therapy with Erin Washington, please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this. Please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts so that more people can find it. And thank you for listening and being along on this journey with me. If you have any subjects that you want me to talk about, follow me on Instagram at I am Erin Washington. Follow the show at Therapy with Erin Washington. And I will see you next week for more Therapy.